Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Last episode, we were in Genesis 7:15. Today, we're going to get to Genesis 7:16. At least we'll start on it today. I just want to touch on yesterday's episode. As we talked about the breath of life, you may have felt like, okay, I get it. You know, God's sovereign. You look at the idea of regeneration. You say, okay, we need to be saved. Why are we harping on this idea of the breath of life? Why are we harping on the idea that God gives life and takes it away? I think the Lord would have us to really spend time and think about that because people today don't fear God and they're not acting like he is the giver of life. And by virtue of the giver of life, also the one that takes it. Today, I was running an errand for our family. I was in the car alone, nobody with me. My phone rang, individual with a somewhat heavy Indian accent, told me he was from U.S. Border Customs something or other. And he had a very American name that he was sharing with me. And I said, you know, this is a crime, what you're doing. You know, you're calling and trying to purport yourself as someone you're not. And he got kind of quiet. He said, uh-huh. And look, if you call, if you telemarket to a preacher, you're gonna receive a word. Amen. Not all the time. I don't know if I would have been that bold with the kids in the car or if I was running around or something, but I had a few minutes and I wanted to share with him, and more importantly than my time, Lord had just impressed upon me to share the gospel with him and to explain to him that what he's doing, that he's lying, that he's not that person, and that he's deceiving, he's trying to commit a fraud, is horrible. And that yet all of us fall short of the glory of God, and we all need God. And I was impressing upon him to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved today, because tomorrow is not promised. And who knows what will happen? Maybe this man is part of a syndicate that's stealing money, and maybe he'll steal money from someone one day, and the Lord would have it, he'll walk out his door, and he'll get robbed or he'll get killed. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But for whatever reason, he's on my phone line and I'm sharing with him the urgent need to repent, not to beat him up, because we never want to use the Bible like as a weapon. Oh, how dare you? I'm moral. You're not. No, it's we all fall short. We all need Jesus. And let's get this settled now, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And just as sinful as this whole thing, arose, it doesn't have to end that way. This could be for good. And I pray the Lord will speak to his heart and get saved before it's eternally too late. But I give you this example. I give you this example to hammer home the point that people don't fear God. If that man feared God, he would have never called with a lie. If his boss feared God, he would never assemble a team to call with lies, to defraud people. If we really knew what was ahead, a judgment that was ahead, a judgment that's not like something we're trying to ponder. It's in the Bible, friend. Read about the book of Revelation. What you see today is largely not God's judgment. This is just the fallen world. God's judgment comes in the book of Revelation, and it's not pretty. People are getting killed by the millions and billions. The blood is up to the horse's bridle, amen. God is exacting his punishment on all those that would reject that free gift of salvation. And again, it's just like God to allow someone that is deep in sin to receive a witness at the most unthinkable time. You know, I think they wanted a bank account more than a witness. But guess what? God is able to save. And we should be fearful of God, because God is real. As Paul was telling these folks, these intellects at Mars Hill, look, God is not far. Like, your unknown God, he's actually right here. You know, you may think he's far off, but he's not. He's near. And Paul knew that he was near, because at one point he was Saul walking to the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and Jesus Christ met him right there, blinded him right there. Amen. He is near. God is near. God is real. His judgment is real. We are to fear God and understand he is the giver of life and the taker of life. Every heartbeat, Every moment we have on this earth is by God's divine mercy and providence. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, Genesis 7:16 we'll get to right when we get back from this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, here we go. Genesis 7, verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Of course, the next verse says the flood was upon the earth. So the Lord shut him in. The Lord did it. Okay? And so here we have a picture of salvation. And salvation, I want to make the case for here today, is not temporary. All right? You don't get saved from drowning to die in the earthquake, all right? Salvation is permanent. You get saved from this life to be with God forever, all right? And I'm going to give you some verses to help back this idea of what is called theologically eternal security. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So part of John, this is John 6:37, part of this equation is that there are people that God has given Jesus, and Jesus prays for every one of them, right? And specifically, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for those that will hear from his disciples. Well, have you heard from his disciples? I have, right? In the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels. So when we are saved, we are part of a group that God is going to keep, and that is a promise with the triune God. And we know the triune God will speak to each other because they kind of speak to each other about things in the creation account. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's John 10:28. And Jesus speaking here says he's going to give eternal life. He doesn't say he's going to give eternal life, but there is a caveat. Or he doesn't say they shall never perish, but they could perish, right? That would be that would be a hypocritical statement. That would be an oxymoron. That wouldn't make sense. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He doesn't say most men won't pluck them out of my hand. Some men won't pluck them out of my hand. And I'm going to give you an interesting scripture in a little bit here to help boil down why you may think in your mind you know someone that says they're saved, is living out in the world, and you're like, how could God allow that? They're out. Wicked as can be. I'll give you a verse in a minute, but John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to come into condemnation. Amen. Jesus says he didn't come to hurt. He came to give life and give it more abundantly. He didn't come to take away. Jesus says here in John 5:24, that those that hear his word and what? Believe on him. We are justified simply by faith. It's by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone that we're saved. It says, he that heareth my word, whose word? Christ's word. Where's his word? The Bible. And believeth on him that sent me, God the Father, hath everlasting life. Everlasting. It doesn't say you could have everlasting life, but it could be taken away at a moment's notice. It says everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come. If you hear and you believe, you are not under condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It doesn't say, but is passed from death unto life and could go back to death. Jesus doesn't say here that he has to go back to the cross. He died one time for all mankind for all time. Jesus Christ died one time. He bore that cup of sin, past, present, and future, one time as the substitutionary death, as the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb for all mankind, for all time. But who? It's not anyone. It's whosoever that believes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Belief is the key indicator. Go back to our text verse, Genesis 7:16. Who did God shut in? And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Who went in? Well, beyond the animals, Noah, his wife, his children, his sons, and his sons' wives. And the question is, did they believe? It didn't say they were forced in. It didn't say that God picked them up on the earth and threw them in. It says that they went in and then he shut them in, right? And so when we believe on Jesus Christ, we are justified by faith. If you get saved on Monday and you truly believe that you say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I trust that Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, paid that price. And he was risen again by God the Father, walked the earth 40 days and 40 nights. He was seen by over 500. He ascended up to heaven and today is at the right hand of the Father. I believe that. If you believe that on Monday, and I'm just listen closely, you believe that on Monday, it doesn't matter what you do on Tuesday, you can't lose your salvation because you believed on Monday. Now hear me, if anybody preaches about sanctification and walking holy and faith without works is dead, it's me, okay? Like, I'm really big on that. I believe God's standard is higher, much higher than we think it is. But at the end of the day, if you got saved and truly believed on Monday, and you mess up on Tuesday and you're afraid that you lost your salvation for some reason, then you're calling God a liar on Monday. Because on Monday, God said, you're going to have eternal life. And now on Tuesday, is he changing his mind? No. Why would that thought come to mind? I don't know. Could it be from the devil? What's the devil called? The author of confusion? Could the author of confusion be trying to confuse you? We've gotten comments on our YouTube videos of gut-wrenching about how people had walked with the Lord for a season and fallen afar off, and they were afraid they were going to go to hell. You know, that's not scriptural. And I'm going to give you a scriptural example of someone that looked like they got saved and they didn't. And so I think more than likely, if you see someone that is living out in the world and you're like, how could that person be saved? And if you're looking for an explanation why they aren't saved, I can give you a biblical example. For time's sake, I'm going to give it to you in the next episode. I don't think we'll have time in this episode. So there is a biblical example of people that we think would be saved and are not. But I've heard it said that in heaven, we might be very surprised of who is there and who is not there. You know, God looks upon the heart. So number one, it's not going to be heaven full of like celebrities and people that look nice. It's not going to be heaven full of people with a bunch of money. Amen. In fact, the Bible really, as I've understood it, either speaks negatively or neutral on money, never positively. So it's not going to be like the world's upper crust and it's just full of that. But there may be some there. We say, wow, we didn't know you were a believer and you really believed. And wow, that's a great testimony, despite all the temptation that came along with your status or your money or whatever. But oftentimes, it'll be people that we might surprise us. It may be someone that you've looked at in your church that comes not all the time. It may be somebody that you know isn't perfect, that has a bad habit. It may be somebody that you've been curious about if they could really be saved. That person may be in heaven. And there could be someone that is the best Samaritan, the best dressed, the one that's always there. The Bible is so crisp and clean in their hand, and they always just seem to have it together, and they're left out. Because God looks upon the heart, and the measuring stick that God is using is a one tool measuring stick. It is a barometer of one, and that one is faith. We are justified by faith. Noah by faith entered the ark. Noah's wife by faith entered the ark. His sons and his sons' wives entered the ark by faith. By faith they did it. They did it by faith. They believed the flood was coming, though it had been so long. And though no one else would get on, surely they knew other people that wouldn't get on. And they believed God. And because they believed God, they were justified by their faith. And God today, in his sovereignty, in his mercy and love, is saying, simply believe. If you believe, you are justified by faith. And I'm not going to take that from you. Now, that's not a license to sin. The Bible speaks very severely about those that understand what God did for them and then go live in sin. The Bible speaks to it as crucifying Christ afresh. It is not something that we ever want to be involved in if we can help it. But the Bible also speaks about Jesus knowing our form, knowing how we're made, knowing our infirmities and knowing our weaknesses and all those things that we've gone through because he lived meek and lowly. He lived poor on this earth. He came from Nazareth, which is known as a know-nothing town. He didn't have a place to lay his head, amen. He had no earthly riches or acclaim, amen. He lived a life to help us understand that salvation comes by faith alone. Did Jesus believe? He did. He was obedient unto death, the Bible says. Did Noah believe? He did, and his family. Do you believe? I pray that you do. Tune in next time as we get deeper into this message here. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.